And let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are days, and don't we know them, when the world feels like a courtroom where the odds are stacked against us. You sit on the uncomfortable bench of a waiting room. You refresh the website again, hoping the application finally went through. You hold the phone in your hand as the voice repeats, "Your call is important to us." You scroll a news feed thick with grief, injustice, and quiet despair. And somewhere deep in your gut, you wonder, not with anger, but with ache, "How long, O Lord?" This is the space Jesus walks into in Luke chapter 18. Not the mountaintop, not a sanctuary humming with hallelujahs or the pomp and joy of a praise band playing, but a quiet place where people are close to giving up. Luke tells us, "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart." We don't even need to hear the parable yet. The problem's already named. Our hearts are threadbare. And when your heart is worn thin, you don't stop believing in God. You just stop expecting anything to shift. And so Jesus tells a story, not to comfort, not to congratulate, but to confront. "There was a judge," he begins. It always starts with power. But this judge, he doesn't fear God. He has no respect for people. In Hebrew idiom, that means he has no anchor, no Torah, no covenant, no compass guiding him. This is empire in a robe, detached from community, unmoored from mercy. And then here comes a woman, a widow. And we hear that word and think grief, absence, loss. And yes, that's true. But in Jesus' world, the word also signaled exposure, fragility, social risk. No husband, no income, no standing. She's not just grieving. She's vulnerable. She's unprotected skin in a system built on armor. And yet still she walks into the chamber of power and does not sit down. "Grant me justice against my adversary." Now, we never find out who the adversary is. Is it a creditor, a violent landlord, a bureaucracy that erased her? Maybe it's the patriarchal court itself. Or maybe, just maybe, the adversary is internal. Shame, despair, that voice that says, "You don't matter anymore." That ambiguity is holy, because it means that this story is for anyone who's ever had to stand up without knowing exactly who or what they were standing against. It's for the ones with no neat villain to blame, just the slow ache of systems that grind them down. And it's for those of us who know too well that the adversary isn't always out there. Sometimes it's inside. Still, she doesn't beg. She doesn't apologize. She demands the system act justly. And the judge? He dismisses her like dust. But she comes back again and again. Nothing but her voice, no leverage, no lawyer, just relentless presence. Luke says she bothers him. The Greek is hypopeidadze me. Literally, she gives me a black eye. She bruises him with her persistence. She's not a nuisance. She's a mirror held to the court. She is a holy disruption. And the scandal is, she wins. Not because the judge is just, but because she won't stop showing up. He doesn't rule because he cares, he rules because he's tired. And then Jesus gives a twist, because he's not saying God is like the judge. He's saying if even the corrupt will yield to relentless truth, how much more will your Abba, your Father, respond with mercy and justice? And then comes the real punch, because Jesus isn't ending with comfort, he's ending with a question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find anyone still knocking, still rising when it would be easier to resign, still believing that justice is possible even when the system says otherwise over and over again? This is the faith that Jesus seeks. Not clean, not polished, not marketable, but bruised, fierce, stubborn, widow faith. And to be real, this kind of faith is hard to carry when your prayers echo back empty, when systems fail you, when healing doesn't come, when dreams collapse quietly behind closed doors. And hear me clearly, Jesus is not glorifying her suffering. God is not sitting in heaven handing out adversity like a test. This widow's struggle is not God's will. But her refusal to disappear? That is divine. Her persistence is a holy protest. Some of us know this ache in our bones. Others walk with quieter heartbeats, deferred dreams, relationships under strain, hopes frayed from too many no's. This parable is for all of us who've heard "come back tomorrow" so many times that it begins to sound like scripture. And even when we do keep coming back, it costs us. It taxes our energy, it frays our edges, it asks more than we think we can give. So let me ask you, where have you kept showing up, even when it felt like no one noticed? Where have you kept loving, teaching, leading, caregiving, resisting, without applause, without guarantees? That's widow faith. And maybe the judge isn't only out there in the system. Maybe there's a courtroom inside us too. The part of you that mocks your own prayers, that skepticism you've baptized as realism, that habit of brushing off your longing as childish or naive. Maybe the adversary, the real one, is the lie that says it's foolish to keep hoping. But the widow reminds us, you can keep knocking, even on the doors you locked yourself. You can rise again, even after silence. You can wrestle a blessing from the dark. You can ask for justice even when you're not sure where the injustice ends. You can believe when no one else does, when the scoreboard says it's over and the universe says you're too small. That's widow faith. It's Ted Lasso faith. It's holy. Faith, it turns out, is not a mood. It's not a mountaintop. It's a decision to show up, to speak out, to not give in. And here's where this story and our stewardship season meet. Together for good. Because this story is not just about prayer, it is about power. And it asks what kind of faith survives when justice is slow and the system is rigged. And the widow shows us that persistence is powerful. But persistence in community? That can shake the very stones. She's marching. She is organizing. She is confronting Pharaoh with nothing but her voice. She's the grandmother who crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge with blistered feet and a Bible in her hand. She's the mother who won't stop advocating for her child, asking questions, pushing for answers, seeking the care and the resources her child deserves. She's the teacher who buys her own supplies and still believes her students are sacred. She's the pastor who buries more young adults than elders, victims of an opioid crisis, and still she preaches resurrection. She's the mother in a border camp whispering lullabies through chain link as her toddler cries for water. She's the grandmother in Gaza laying bread on a bare table, not because she accepts the siege, but because hope must still be fed. She's the sister in Sudan carrying water like a crown, even as soldiers look through her like she is dust. These stories aren't romantic. And they're not metaphors. They're not neat, but they're sacred. Because faith lives there, faith with skin, in fatigue, in fury, in fragile, unkillable hope. And maybe, just maybe, you bear her spirit too. In your caregiving, in your quiet advocacy, in the unseen work you do. In the ways that you show up when nobody claps, when nobody sees, when nobody thanks you, you carry her defiant hope. And today, you're not alone. Because when we pledge, when we gather, when we share our time and our talent and our resources, when we refuse to give up, we become the widow. But not alone. In harmony, in chorus, with one another, with those who've knocked before us and those who will knock after us. And so whatever you bring today, bring it as a knock on the door. Bring it as a song of protest and of hope. Bring it as faith clothed in fatigue. And trust this. God hears, God sees, God is not like the judge. God is already moving, already listening, already aching with you. So maybe today isn't a turning point. Maybe it's just the next brave step. Still, call it holy. Not because it's tidy, but because it's true. Whether you come with fire or with fragments, God receives it all. Let us let that question linger in the silence. Let it echo in our souls. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And you, widow of hope, bearer of bruised belief, what will your answer be? Your answer is how you live this week. And the courage it takes to care, and the patience it takes to call, and the generosity that disrupts despair, and the audacity to keep loving the world even when it doesn't love you back. Your answer is in the way you keep rising, you keep reaching, you keep returning. Today, tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, together. Amen.